The criminals, they will always find their way. It's like these games at the amusement park when you hammer down a frog or in a hole and it will quickly appear somewhere else.
Welcome to The Laundry, the podcast connecting AML, compliance and financial crime to the real world. I'm your host, Frederick, Head of Strategy and Business Development at Strice. And in this episode, we are revealing the financial crime risk of Sweden's cashless society dream. If you have spent any time in Stockholm, maybe in one of the city's fantastic cafes or bakeries, indulging in the fika custom.
It's time for fika. It's time for fika. A little Swedish coffee break that I have several times a day. It's time for fika.
You may have noticed that you're more likely to hear the beep of a card transaction than the good old clinking of coins. Globally, Sweden is considered the poster child of a cashless society. This is the idea of a society where money is traded strictly through digital transactions rather than physical currencies. In fact, the number of Swedes using cash to pay for goods and services fell from 39% in 2010 to a mere 9% in 2020, making it the world leader in the journey to becoming a completely cashless society. However, is this actually a good thing? Is it all benefits, or do we have to have an honest conversation about the financial crime risks this creates, as well as the one it prevents? After all, the best way to course correct is by looking at someone's journey and analyzing what's good and what's bad about its final destination. So in today's episode, we'll be discussing Sweden's journey towards a cashless society, the benefits and challenges this poses for financial crime, and the real-world consequences of going truly cashless. To dive into this topic, I'm here with Kajsa Nordberg, Head of AML at Loomis. Welcome to The Laundry, Kajsa. Please tell our listeners what they should know about you, your background, and Loomis.
Hello, Frederick, and thank you for having me. I have worked with the financial industry for the past 26 years. I have worked as a project and program manager, developing systems, and also worked with the sustainability and customer influence. And for the last 6 years, I've worked as head of AML, first at an insurance company, and since August 2022, I'm with Loomis Sweden. I'm really happy that you bring up this very important topic, and because there are so many misunderstandings and assumptions regarding the usage of cash. And I really hope that we can clarify some of these at the pod. I must confess that when I started working at Loomis, I did not have any cash in my wallet. And I didn't really know that much about this industry. I had no idea that there were so many people that was excluded from the digital payment society and the society when cash is not welcome everywhere. So I hope that we can dive into this topic today, and I'm happy to share my knowledge.
Thank you for the introduction. Let's start by laying out how things are looking in 2024. Because in the last decade, how drastic have you seen the changes being when it comes to cash usage in Sweden?
Well, it has been decreasing during the last decade. And there are some groups that have stopped using cash altogether. And there are others that only use cash. And according to the Swedish National Bank, 9% stated they have paid their cash during the most recent purchase in 2022. Compared to 39% in 2010.
Looking from the outside in, it seems like that trend points towards Sweden becoming a completely cashless society at one point. Would you say it as a misconception, completely true? What's your stance on that?
Well, as I've said, we've seen a decrease of cash for the last years, but we believe that we have reached the bottom and that the Greek decrease will not continue. And if you ask the man on the street, they want to keep the cash, and they are even worried that they're not being able to pay for their food and medicine when the digital payment solutions isn't reliable.
All right, so we think that we're stopping at 9%. Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. Maybe since the way in the world and what's happening, maybe it will increase. But we don't think it will decrease anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, because one thing that I find fascinating about finance is, as an example, with inflation, countries usually have a certain number or a certain percentage they want to have year over year. And I wonder, do you think the government has set a exact number percentage-wise of cash they want to have their citizen pay with, or do you think the number is a bit more random than that?
I don't think they have set a figure. However, they are starting to be aware of the cash in society and looking into legislation regarding cash, and we will get into that later, I think.
Absolutely. Do you think though that the less cash in the society has led to a decrease in certain categories when it comes to financial crime?
Well, I guess that you and many of the listeners think about robberies in connection to financial crime and cash. And it was pretty common, say, 15 years ago. But with the new technology and improved security, that we hardly have any robberies at all now. Cross my fingers. But the shops, they are no longer as exposed for robberies as they were before, because I think we can offer them a better handling of cash. So that I think that they are more worried about robberies and theft of their goods than robberies of cash. And the banks also, they hardly have any robberies at all, and that's because they don't handle cash anymore. They are de-risking and leaving us to be responsible.
It seems to be a general trend that people aren't getting robbed for the cash anymore. It's a cat of the goose jacket or whatever sort of more expensive clothing item or goods that they have with them. And I guess the same is true for the not necessarily the banks, but general shops, retail shops and so forth as well, with expensive goods that could be traded in the dark market, basically. But if we flip this on its head look at sort of the increase in financial crime that's happening due to a more cashless society, what trends are you seeing when it comes to that?
First of all, the majority of those who use cash are not criminals. And most of our customers are well-known brands. So moving away from cash will not eliminate criminals, because they are mostly in the financial, in the digital financial sector, such as banks. And moving away from cash will leave people with the digital payments and these elderly people, especially, that are being used and tricked in by criminals, and their life savings will be gone in a split second using all these digital solutions.
It would be extremely interesting looking at the correlation between the drop in robbery when it comes to cash and the increase in fraud and e-fraud, as you allude to now, in terms of elderly being tricked into giving their savings away and so forth. What would you share with fellow AML professionals to help them combat the risks associated with cash today?
Well, if you compare our industry with the banks, a bank, they can see the whole picture of the customer. They can follow the money. They can see if I have transferred any money to you, Frederick, into your account. They can see that the money that I have in my account, some might come from my salary from Loomis. But if you simplify it to Loomis, we go to our customers, we collect a bag of money. We count it and we deposit it in the customer's Swedish bank account. But we cannot see where the bills comes from. It could be a criminal using drug money to buy milk, or it could be someone's grandmother paying for their eggs. So we really don't know. So since we can only see the sum of a deposit, our most effective control is to look at the customer. We look at the legal form. We look at the background of the beneficial owner, the owner structure, ownership structure, the customer's behavior in comparison to other customers with similar operations. But most important is the industry that they're in.
And how are you finding the move away from a society where there's a lot of transactions into less cash transactions, affecting sort of foreign labor, money being paid under the table. Do you see a decrease in that type of criminal behavior, which isn't necessarily cruel, and in many ways it's always just kind of been that way, but now it's probably harder to do since more payments are happening on digital infrastructures.
We see that a lot of companies are used as a criminal tool, and that they use the company's facade to commit crimes, and they are mixing white money with black money, and it's difficult to trace what is what. And as you mentioned, black money or using salaries to pay illegal people here, that's one way to launder money, to pay salaries or pay invoices with cash. And the problem with the black salaries has somewhat been limited by these tax reduction for services, at least in Sweden, paying in the private households using cleaning or carpeting services. So there are some decrease.
So how are the bad actors leveraging a cashless society right now? Do you have any examples of how they're exploiting?
How they're exploiting, yeah. Yeah, we have most of our companies, our customers are Swedish companies, and we offer limited foreign exchange to private customers. So it's companies that launder money. What we can see, well, since we can only see one step in the chain, it's challenging to look at the transactions. So that's why we need to dig deep into the customer. And as I said, there are certain industries where the risk for money laundering is higher than others, like sort of small exchange offices. And another risk increasing parameter is customers having their business in a high-intensity drug area, trafficking area, or a high-intensity financial crime area. So that's one red flag. And you might think that another red flag is a high ratio of cash, but a high ratio of cash can also be perfectly normal. Because we see various, depending on where in the country you live. In some cultures, there are more common to use cash. And in some places, it's difficult to use the digital payment methods to poor internet. So then cash is king.
So how much is the financial crime aspect being considered by the regulators when putting policy together related to the use of cash?
I would say that they are taking the question regarding prevention of crime seriously, but some regulations are discarding the use of cash, and others are protecting the use of cash. The regulators have tried to mitigate the risk for financial crime through cash by legislation for companies that expect cash payments exceeding 5,000 euros. But for smaller businesses, this legislation is too extensive. They cannot uphold it. And a lot of types of business has been sanctioned by county administration board, such as accounting firms and car dealers and watch dealers. So their solution is being cashless.
Your data problem.
And your workflow problem.
Now it isn't your problem. Strice is your ultimate solution to streamline customer due diligence and perpetual KYC.
Transforming your AML strategy from a manual burden to an automated winner.
Nice.
With AI-centric automation at its heart, Strice fast-tracks your time to revenue.
And because we know the future is as uncertain as it is exciting,
Strice is modular by design.
Prepare for tomorrow's risks and regulations today.
Today.
With flexibility that adapts to whatever the future holds.
And best of all,
you experience value from day one. Instant use out of the box.
Visit strice.ai and try our live demo today.
Back to the show.
Let's spend some time looking forward into the future and how this might develop moving forward. So how do you expect the financial risks to evolve and develop if access to cash isn't protected?
If you ask the man on the street, I think that you would say that they don't feel secure with the digital infrastructure and that they cannot trust the digital payment solutions that it will work at all times. So I think most of us has been a victim in some cyber attack, vishing, or getting your account hacked. And there is a need for alternatives and to be prepared for the society for these. And actually, this autumn, Loomis was participating in a crisis exercise for the whole financial sector. And when all banks were knocked out, cash was the only solution that worked.
In that scenario exercise, did you guys think about sort of how that could come about? Like what actually would be the levers for a cashless society to really unfold and take place? Was that part of the scenarios that you drew up as well?
It is very obvious that the society needs an infrastructure and we need to be prepared. There are so many things going on in the world. There are war in Europe, very close to us here in Sweden. And the war is both physically and digitally. So we need to be prepared for being able to have an infrastructure handling cash. So it would be really risky to have a totally cashless society.
Absolutely. We would probably end up being extremely dependent on whoever would form that oligopoly of banking or the digital payment infrastructures available. And I think there's a level to freedom in having cash in terms of, or the banks wouldn't be able to block a transaction to a donation, as an example, to a political party or whatever else that you might favor that the bank is not necessarily supporting. And I think it's extremely important that we protect that as well. Is there anything in particular that you think financial crime fighters and compliance workers should pay extra attention to in the societies where cash has become less frequent when it comes to a payment method?
I'd say that no matter how and with which method money is laundered, it's difficult to one entity to by themselves stop financial crime. So we need to work together. Being able to allow to share information, I think, will be a key. We need to keep the net tight in the AML community.
You mentioned at the start of the episode that when starting your journey in Loomis, you were a bit surprised about how many people did not have access to cash, or at least was dependent on cash, if I recall correctly. What financial crime risks could a truly cashless society lead to for the unbanked and underbanked populations of our society?
Well, a cashless society excludes people, and such as elderly and disabled persons, and who do not have access to digital payments and methods. And I have heard stories from these groups of people who they're having to go from one place to another before they can find a shop where they can buy coffee, how they are dependent on others for being able to pay for their bus ride. They feel ashamed. I would stick my neck out and say it's economic apartheid. I have in my mind very clear a memory from listening to a group called, an organization called Hidden Women. And they told us that they were not able to go to the doctors because the health center did not accept cash. The payment options were credit card or invoice, which gave them away when they were trying to hide from their perpetrators. So for them, cash is a matter of life and death. And that makes me feel, it makes my work at Loomis even much more worthwhile. And so I think of them during the days that we can make a difference with cash.
Is this the general consensus in the industry, you feel, when it comes to payment? Does other banking counterparts of your on your end, as an example, share the same view when it comes to this? Or do you find that they have maybe a different motive?
If you talk about accepting cash, I think there are, as I said before, the banks are de-risking. They don't want to handle cash at all. So we stand alone as it is today, helping these people. Even though there is a legislation for banks that they must give out cash and receive cash, but they don't. So as it is today, we have a very important part in the society helping these people.
What would you like to see going forward from a regulatory perspective to help with this matter?
There is an investigation going on now, and they have appointed a person from the Swedish government looking into making using of cash as a legislation. And we are very, very much looking forward to it. This investigation started in the 1st of February and will be ready by the end of the year. And then also our head of the National Bank, Erik Thedéen, has said that it's very important that we have an increase of resistance against, say, cyber attacks and things like that. And he wants to see a statutory obligation for traders to accept cash as payment as essential goods. But we are really... Loomis are working and we are campaigning and we are meeting politicians to push this legislation. And Erik Thedéen talked about essential goods. And in that matter, so far they have mentioned food, fuel, and medicine. But I don't know where they draw the line for what is essential. But I don't think that anybody wants to go naked to the pharmacy buying their meds. So therefore, we hope that legislation will include other products as well.
So what lessons are there for other countries such as Norway and the UK, who may see Swedish cashless model as the one to follow for the next few years?
Well, Sweden will never be cashless. keeping the cash now has not been more important now than it has been before and brought up to date with this war in Europe and the unrest in the rest of the world. It is very important. And there is no opposition among the Swedish people to use cash.
And what are the real world consequences of not getting this right, do you think, for the authorities and the politicians and governments?
Well, I think that we will have a society that will exclude people, and it will be a society where we are not ready for the risks that we are put up to.
And if you had the magic wand and you could make one of these legislation be put into place by tomorrow, which one would you advocate for?
That will, of course, be that everybody... All companies, shops will have to be able to accept cash, so nobody will be excluded.
Absolutely. And I see that we're approaching the end of the episode, but we're going to dish out some quick-fire questions for you, if that's all right?
Sure. Fire away.
All right. Do the benefits of a cashless society outweigh the financial crime risks in your perspective?
The quick answer is no. The criminals, they will always find their way. It's like these games at the amusement park when you hammer down a frog or in a hole and it will quickly appear somewhere else.
Second question is, why is protecting access to cash so crucial in your opinion?
It is to secure inclusive society for all groups, to prepare ourselves for crisis, and to respect personal privacy.
True or false? Cash makes financial crime easier.
True, in some ways, because of the anonymity, but it is far from only criminals that uses cash.
Perfect. That brings the spin of this laundry to an end. Kajsa, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find out more about you and connect?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn, of course, and you can find more information about Loomis at our website, loomis.se. Money makes
the world go round. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please check out the back catalog and follow The Laundry on your podcast platform of choice, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. To get in touch with The Laundry team, you can comment on the Strice LinkedIn page, my LinkedIn page, or email laundry@strice.ai. Your host for this episode was me, Fredrik Risser. Our producer was Matthew. Our engineers were Niklas and Dominic. The Laundry is proudly produced by Strice, the AML automation cloud. Your data problem and your workflow problem now is not your problem. Visit strice.ai and try our live demo of the AML automation cloud today. See you next time.